Blog Talk Radio.
This is Patty Hulstrand, and this is KWOD Radio. We're on live today. It is Thursday. Can you believe it's almost the end of the week already? I never know where the days go. They gotta go somewhere, though, and we might as well spend some time with us. Just wanted to let you know, right off the bat, we've got something coming on, coming up here, and I wanted to make sure to get your bug in your ear right now. The SCIL Steampunk scientific exhibition is this weekend. It's on March 1st and 2nd. On Saturday, you know, even if we have rain here in Arizona, I know it's amazing we have to have rain. It'll be 10 in the morning, rain or shine. We will have the huge trebuchet out there that's like a catapult. You guys got to come out and see this thing. It's just crazy. Anyway, we got an awesome thing going on. Of course, we got raffle going on out there. And we'll be doing some live shows I'll do them from 11 to 12, and then I'll be leaving for a while, and I'll come back at 3 o'clock. So, but you'll be stuck there with everybody else, having all sorts of fun. There's Rosson House Museum on 6th Street. That's 6th Street in Phoenix, from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon tomorrow. I'm sorry, not tomorrow, just the day ahead. Saturday is going to be from 10 to 4, and then, of course, Sunday would be from noon to 4. So, without further ado, we want to talk about our guest today. Talking to Barbara Kloss, who studied biochemistry at California Polytechnic. I actually got that right. Polytechnic State University, and after she began working in a clinical lab, found herself daydreaming about far-off lands and slightly deranged wizards. Aren't we all? We all think about deranged wizards. Anyway, she, her husband, baby boy, and Lasha currently live in Arizona. Well, of course, we just have to let her know that, hey, we are in Arizona ourselves. And we apparently, you guys escaped the summer heat by writing about less vegetation and moderate cold climates. Very awesome. And without further ado, I believe that we have Barbara on the line. Is that you, Barbara?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Let's turn off the music. I took your information, and of course I put it up on my blog. I didn't even realize that you were in Arizona.
Hey, well, that's a happy circumstance for me. I didn't know that either till I saw you on there. Are you in the Phoenix area?
Well, I'm in Mesa.
Mesa? Okay, yeah, we're northern Phoenix. We're up in Glendale.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, we're neighbors.
I know. Hi.
Well, we definitely have more things to talk about then. That's amazing that we didn't even... That's so funny.
I know.
I had you as my guest on my blog, and I pick and choose, you know, those books and that I think that, you know, my listeners and readers would definitely get into. And my big pull is the pop culture community. And
I'm flattered. Thank you for hosting me today.
Yeah, I said, well, first of all, I loved your covers, and I'm pretty fussy about that.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of stuff.
I am too, so I'm glad to hear it.
So it's just even amazing that, you know, we haven't met. You know, that's hard to believe.
Yes.
Considering all the conventions I've gone to. Definitely need to get you over there.
Yes. We're not from here. We've lived here for almost 3 years now.
Oh, well, then you're just a baby.
Yes.
Well,
see?
We got to introduce
you. That might be why.
You.
I would love that.
You just happen to be talking to somebody who actually had been going to science fiction and fantasy conventions for 22 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And
yeah, see, we're from Northern California, so the stuff I've been to was in that area.
Oh, there you go. So you know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, sci-fi fantasy conventions.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're actually, if I'm thinking of the ones you're talking about, I haven't been to those. I've been to, like, fantasy science fiction workshops specifically for writing.
Ah, okay. Well, in that case, I gotta introduce you to a whole new world, Barbara.
I would love that. That's like, that would be wonderful.
Well, definitely, because what I'll do is I'll give you, and here we are sitting here doing business, right there. There you are. If you guys are listening to, I know you guys are chat. I got some people on here listening to your chat. So it's like he's going like, what is she doing? Anyway.
No, my husband will put up with it. He'll go too.
Well, yeah.
You'll have fun.
Well, yeah. You're just going to have so much fun. And of course, I just love getting new authors involved. And it says, now I know that you've got two books out and your third one is coming out soon, or is it already out?
It just came out last month, little more than a month ago. So I'm still working, on the fourth one right now.
Okay, so it's not a trilogy, it's a series.
Correct. I had originally intended for it to be a trilogy, and then somewhere amidst book two I realized I needed another book. You know how stories kind of take on a life of their own.
Yes,
so,
well,
here
the
we
characters.
Are. One more.
Characters told you so, right? Characters said, no, you're not done.
Oh, no.
Okay.
They don't let you go.
And I know some people probably already know who you are, but let's, you know, go backwards here. Explain your series and where you came from and how you came upon this story.
Okay. Explain my series. Really, it is just a coming-of-age story about a girl that finds out she's from another world, a magical world, and really has to embrace her role in that world and the powers that she sort of grows into and all the adversity that comes along the way. Of course, she's not used to it. And then, of course, because I love stories, there's the forbidden romance in there as well. Because of her position, I don't want to give too many details away, but if you read the synopsis of book 2 and 3, you'll probably find out anyway. I started writing this series probably about, 5-6 years ago, and I can't really tell you what inspired it other than I just love fantasy so much, and I wanted a strong female heroine also. Mm-hmm. Since so many of fantasy series seem to revolve around males. Not that I have a problem with that. I just wanted a strong female. And I also wanted her to be feminine, too, because I think femininity is strong in and of itself without having to discard that just for the sake of having a strong character. So I tried to embrace both of those with this character, although she taught me some other things, too. But that's kind of the purpose that this series has served for me. And it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot and discovered a lot that I had not planned on initially.
Hmm. Now,
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, yeah. Okay, here's your question. You have what looks like a dragon on one of your covers. Is there any dragons in your story?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Much more prevalent, in the third book. There's some dragon variants early on in the first book, but the dragons themselves don't really show up till the third book.
Okay. Now, I really get into deranged wizards like you had in your description, so tell us about that.
Deranged wizards. There's one in particular in the first book. He's crazy. More whimsical, I would say, than anything else. I don't know if I could say he's some kind of a mixture of, I don't even know. He's obvious. He's been around for a long time. He has his ways of doing things, and he's obviously talented, but he always kind of speaks in riddles, and he seems to be off of his rocker, so nobody really knows what he's thinking or trying to do, and he's just a lot of fun for me. So.
Well, he does sound like a lot of fun, and I could definitely get into that. Now, you said that you used to work, I mean, biochemistry. I mean, that is like, is that anything close to fantasy?
not technically, no. You'd be, you know, though, speaking of your fantasy and science fiction conventions, there's a lot of people in the science world that embrace mm-hmm. those things. So
oh, yeah,
there's
definitely.
A lot of like-minded. I think we all like to escape. I don't know. But, and actually, that's probably at fault for me not attending a lot of those conferences, because with my last job, I traveled a lot for work, and I didn't really have a lot of time other than being in a hotel writing. So mm-hmm. That really limited my weekends and such. But if anything, I think that study and major helped prepare me to put in the work that I needed to see series through and everything. So in a roundabout way, it has definitely helped me writing this series, just because of the challenges with that and what I needed as a person for that, because you know how writing and fear of failure, and it's really disheartening sometimes when you're lumbering in the middle of a story and it just seems swamp and the middle goes on forever. But it has helped me learn how to face challenges and get through them.
Well, you know, look at your picture. You're a young lady. And
I'm 31.
Wow. Okay. So you're getting there.
Yeah. I turned the corner. No. Yeah. No, it depends on who I'm around, if I feel young or old. Right now I feel
right.
Exactly. Older, since my husband's back in school.
It's just me, your baby, in a couple of ways. So, you know, because I'm 50.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I've been around for a while. But, yeah, it sounds like you know, being in, I mean, you were, you know, Glendale is like right in the middle of all the comic book stores. You guys have, you know, seriously have some of the best comic book stores and the best game stores over there. So, you should get out and visit them more often.
I think I will have to. Thank you for
Find out about your neighborhood. Yes.
I know, I haven't, and that's my fault.
Yeah, you know, we've only been there for a few years. So, you know, we get blinders on when in our own neighborhood, you know.
Well, yes, and in the span of that 3 years, I had started a new job and had a baby. And so I haven't looked at much else.
Well, now we know why you're staying home. You know,
because
you might as well write if you're going to be home with the baby. And you know, I understand that. Good time to you know take up your writing and get the story out of your head.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And you know, I was working full time and then writing in the evenings. And then once the baby came, it's like there's no. Who's now 15 months old.
Right.
There's just no other time. So now I'm home, and it's given me a lot more time to write, which has been really nice, because I feel like my brain is so pulled in so many different directions as it was before.
And usually you wind up having to get up in the middle of the night anyway, so you might as well stay up.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I touched any of my editing for about the first three months of his life. I don't think anything would have been coherent.
Yeah, I know, because it's like if you get a half an hour to actually sleep, you're going to sleep and not going to write.
Exactly. No. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think I put the milk in the pantry.
So it's been a few years now, and you've gotten your third book done. And how do you feel about it now that you're getting into the fourth one?
I'm actually really excited because granted, I'm only about a third of the way into this fourth one. Because I've had the ending in my head for so long, it feels really nice to get it there and down on paper. And the writing has been, this has been the easiest book to write, just because I know where it needs to end. Specifically, rather than you know, in a series, every book, you're like, well, I ended it here, and that directly impacts the next book, and what if I change my mind? What if my characters want to do something differently? So you always feel like you lock yourself into a path, you know? So now that I'm locked in, I feel like I know where it needs to end, and I can just get there, and it's been a lot of fun so far. So I'm hoping that momentum carries, again, through that middle that I cringe at until the end. So, but I'm working hard because we're expecting another baby again this summer, so I'd like to get as much done before baby number two comes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially considering August, and you know how August is around here.
Oh, gosh.
At least now you do.
Now, are you from originally Phoenix area?
No. I was born in Ohio.
Where?
But I've been around Toledo. I've been since I was 9.
Area. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're well acquainted with the heat.
Oh, yeah. I went to...
Do you ever get used to it?
Junior high and high school. I'm sorry?
Did you ever get used to it?
Yeah. Oh, well, you do. I mean, you know, some months, some summers are worse than others. I think, you get... I think I didn't mind it when I was younger. I think as we get older, we don't quite take the heat as much as we used to. So, it's like, just get me in the front of a fan, you know.
Just sit there. Yeah. I don't like being hot.
No.
It's fun.
But I hate being cold even worse.
Yes. Well, Annette, you're from Toledo, goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And right now, anywhere back east is awful. I can't even imagine.
No.
Well, I can't imagine because I'm a fiction author, but I can't.
you're supposed to imagine that. But only live it through your imagination.
Yeah. My imagination is very wild with all sorts of ideas. It's like, well, you know, if I was living in Ohio there right now and I would actually have snow days, I'd have a reason to be home.
No, and now you see why I just sit here and dream about jungles. And, well, actually, they're not cool, but things that are green.
Okay, Which, of course, some of Arizona is. I'm not sure if you had a chance to go up north yet.
Occasionally, but it was for work, so I didn't get to enjoy it too much.
Yeah, you gotta go up to Sedona's gotta be something you try at least once. And once
you were there for one day.
Oh my goodness.
It was beautiful. I did like that.
Yeah. I take people from Ohio up there.
Oh, I bet they love it.
Well, I had a cousin of mine. We drove into the canyon, and it opened up into all the red rock country. And she said, "Is this the same state?"
Yeah, I know. Yes. Last before we moved here, my uncle had gotten us a book about Arizona and all the land, snow, and the mountains, and then like you said, Sedona, the red rock, and then of course there's the desert, which everybody actually thinks of, which I still think of, even though I know there's alternative climates.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a portion. It's only a portion. And that's what's so cool about Arizona is that it's so diverse. Yeah, it's got so many different climates in it. If I want snow, all I have to do is drive 2 hours.
Yes, north.
Not right now, but a month ago, yeah.
So fast.
Up in the mountains, you can get your snow. And when you get too cold, you can go home. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
It's the best of all the world.
Where we live, because we lived in the Sacramento area, and that's exactly what I loved about it there.
Yeah.
Because you could drive up to the mountains and then drive back, and I didn't have to shovel anything.
Right. Well, Sacramento is even better because, it's not that far from the ocean. So
no,
you want to go to the beach, a real beach. Not like these play beaches we have here, but
But it's freezing cold there.
Some people think, oh well, California's hot. No, not next to the ocean. It's not. I've been there. It's really freezing coming off that water.
It's cold. It's pretty though. Very pretty.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
I was thinking, when I was younger, we lived in Columbus, Ohio, actually, for about 4 years. So I remember those winters, but only as a child, so I enjoyed them.
Oh, I didn't. My mom never let me go outside because I was sick all the time there.
No.
Yeah, so it's like I never... Here, I lived there and never really got to enjoy it, so, you know, why would I want it? You know?
No.
And we moved here when I was 9, and I never really missed it, really, you know, because I didn't really get to play in it. Now I can go play in it and not get sick because I go home.
Yes, I have appreciated that about this climate. I have not gotten sick that often.
Yeah, and once in a while, you know, you never know. Sometimes you get sick of other things. Like right now, the wind, as you know, we're supposed to be expecting rain on Saturday. So it's supposed to get colder and rain is going to be like one day, right?
Yes, and I saw that, and I hope it comes to fruition because I really do love rainy days.
Yeah, unfortunately, it would be like on a weekend. Why does that always have to be a weekend?
It's true. I know.
I'm sure the Renaissance Festival is going like, oh, come on. You know, you don't have no rain during the rest of the year. You know, you have to have it on a hard day.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, here we are
out. Why would it be any other way?
Yeah, here we are outside. You know, we're going to be outside on Saturday. And I'm thinking, oh, sure. You know.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of the Renaissance Fair here, and I have not been.
Oh, it's not fun. A lot of fun.
It looks like it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I feel so shameful. I've lived here for this many years, 3 years, but still a significant amount of time, and I've been to none of these things.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been to the festival in a couple of years, but, you know, whenever I go back every few years, I see some new faces, but, you know, some of the regular ones, so that's kind of fun to see them. So, yeah, you should get out there. It's nice because it's up against the mountains, so it's really pretty out there.
I will. See,
definitely
that's
in the middle of stinking desert.
All these things. Yes, I can do it.
Yeah. So that's the first,
you know.
But from Glendale is the other side of the world. You know.
Yeah.
From Glendale.
Yes. It is.
Yeah.
I know
it
some
is.
People that live or are from Mesa at least, and it's not that far, but yet I never seem to go there.
Yeah. You know, I mean it's about 35 to 40 miles. So if you go out to the Renaissance Festival, see even further out. I mean, it's up against the mountain, so it's good 25, 30 minutes from where I am in Mesa. So, you know, that's a pretty good haul for you to go from Glendale to the festival and back. So plan accordingly.
Yes, will do.
So back to your book. So you're going like all this chit chat about Arizona, you know,
and
everything. Sorry. No, it's my fault. I think, hey, you know, when do I get to talk on the radio with people from Arizona? That not as often, really.
I know. I know. Well, actually, not to go back, but I will mention that a couple of days ago we went to the Phoenix Zoo for the first time.
Ah.
So I'm kind of in your corner.
Yeah.
More out that
okay.
way. It was very nice.
Okay. Okay. It's not like it looked that much different than Glendale, okay? I go out there. Again, I know all your comic book stores over there, so. And
really
I make
funny.
Deliveries over there.
I think you probably know my city better than I do.
Probably. You guys had the chocolate fair. That was in January, and yeah. I have been there. See? Yeah, well, see.
I've done something.
There you go. And of course, that's a good thing to do because it's chocolate.
See?
Well, how could you go wrong with chocolate and romance? I mean, you know, come on.
You can't.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you got a dragon and a wizard in your story. That's even better.
Unfortunately, I don't have chocolate.
Oh, no chocolate. Oh,
I know.
So do you have any romance in it? Do the characters kind of hit it off at all?
Yes, but not romance, the rock style romance. I love stories. I tend to, and I feel terrible saying this because I've read plenty of excellent books that I really do love that have had no semblance of a love story, but I tend to love books more if there is one. And maybe that's just because I'm a girl. I don't know. But I really love having love stories. So while it's not the prominent focus of any of the books or the series, it is one of the major storylines because it really propels a couple of my main characters to do things that they normally wouldn't have, which puts a whole other list of things in motion. But it is a driving force. It's not always the driving force, but it is a major part of the story.
Well, sure. You know, love is definitely one of those things that motivates or causes, you know, ripples, depending on the story, of course.
Yes.
Of the characters and does make them do some, you know, good things and stupid things.
Yes. And I do have both, actually.
Yeah, don't we all, though? You know, we all
know.
Really do. We have all
done
really
stupid,
stupid
moments
things.
Of love.
Yeah. So, you know, our characters have to have done something stupid because we were in love or were in love with someone. So we all gone through that. So that's what makes stories, you know, good, is when you the reader can say, oh, yeah, I did that. That was silly of me, too.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So tell us
yes,
more
so
about.
There is oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Now that you got your fourth one that you're working on, and is that at the end of the series, or is there something else coming up?
That's the end of the series.
Oh goodness. So how do you feel about that?
I don't know yet, to be honest. There's a part of me that is excited to be able to go into new waters because I've been in this world of Gaia for so long, but I know that I'm also going to be sad to leave these characters because they've been my friends for so long, and even though they don't always go away, you know, or they don't ever go away, excuse me, but they have been a part of my life. Yeah, they're there, and they've been a part of my life every day for years. I mean, there's hardly a day that's gone by that I haven't thought about them or worked on this in one way, shape, or form, and it's going to feel almost like a betrayal to shift my mind to new ventures and new people, even though they're already kind of talking in my head. But so right now, I don't know how to feel, other than I'm excited the story is flowing. We love those days.
That always helps when you have it going on there.
I might have a better answer for you when it's done.
Okay.
I don't know at this point. I think it will feel very surreal, like it shouldn't be finished yet, because, again, it has been a part of my daily routine for so many years now that I think it'll take me a while to separate myself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A little bit.
I've heard from other authors who have said the same thing, where they really weren't looking to finish it because they can't imagine not being with those characters anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and because, I mean, they are. You think about them every single day.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're not in front of your computer working on it, your mind, you wake up dreaming about them. And you're just like, really? That's it? Now I have to set you aside? And, I mean, a part of them will always go along with you. You're not going to just cold turkey cut them off and never think about them again. But to be actively engaged, that's going to be odd.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there myself, but I've got other people who said the same thing. I didn't avoid it by making another 10 books in the series, so there you go.
Hey, good job. You know what? And maybe I'm speaking too prematurely here and saying that it's going to end, and I'll be like, well,
as long as you don't,
one more.
Hey, as long as you don't kill them all, you're okay.
No, I'm not a tragic person.
Ah, see, so there you go. As long as you don't kill them, you can bring them back.
I know. It's true.
Never know. Never know. I also say, well, you know, if I have enough brothers, I can definitely make enough stories. And then my main characters are wind up coming in sometime during those particular, you know, books, even though they're focusing on somebody else. So
you're smart. You don't have to let them go.
That's right. I refuse.
I will set up my next stuff in more that way so I can stay with them longer. And I'll have to say goodbye. I like that.
Yeah, eventually. Eventually we all have to say goodbye, you know, when it comes to characters in our head. So are you thinking about another series that your new characters are starting to talk about?
Yes. I don't know if it'll be a series or not, but I definitely have more voices in my head. You know how that, it sounds strange, but you know what I mean.
No, I know you.
Only
other fiction authors understand what you're talking about. Okay?
The voices in my head.
And everyone else is saying, you know, it's okay. We'll get you your meds, okay?
See? Yes. Exactly.
I know no meds. I don't need them to go away.
Say that to the wrong person, you get some of the strangest looks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, no, I do. I have other ideas that I am excited to explore. I'm also nervous, again, because I've been in this world for so long, and I know it so well, that starting completely fresh seems a bit daunting when I reflect back on everything that I've poured into all of these books. But I'm also excited about it, and I don't know where it's going to take me yet, because I'm not one of those people that can write two stories at once. I wish my brain could handle it, but it can't. So I kind of have to put it on the back burner, and it's just like images and flashes of things, and that I know that I'll get to when I'm done with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know some authors who can actually have three or four stories going at once, and I'm going like, wow. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? No, I wish I could.
That's what people tell me how nice it is, and I just think, that sounds nice, but wow.
I know. I'm going like, how do you keep them straight? You know?
That's what I would do. I know. I'd probably have some zookeeper killing a wizard. I don't know. In totally different worlds, it would be a mess.
Yeah, so, and then I have some authors who actually very prolific. They just write very fast. So
yes,
they'll
and
write,
I'm not fast.
Yeah, they'll write the one book. And then they go on to the next book, you know, which is in a different series, and then they, you know, keep jumping like leapfrog. But I say, yes, but you have to go back in your editing while you're working on the other story. I guess, you know, that's quite a bit.
Yes, my brain isn't quite that talented.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble with that right now. I wind up letting one of them drop because I fall in love
with that
I'm on, you know?
Well, that's even with the world building with this one, because, you know, in each book you write, it gets, especially in series, as you know, I mean, it gets bigger and bigger, and there's more details that you're trying to hold on to keep it moving forward. And I can't possibly step out of that. Because I will lose so many things.
Yeah.
So,
I know that I heard from an author recently. I think it was when I met him back in September at the CopperCon, and he said that he did make a mistake in one of his books because he made reference to some town that really was not in the right series. So
see, that's funny. That would happen to me times about 100.
Oh, man. I said, well,
I'm not good at that.
Yeah, if you're going to world build, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, I know some authors who just, you know, they write it all up. You know, they're building a world and they use a whiteboard. And they write everything, from economy to the towns and, you know, everything going on, which direction everyone's going. Yeah.
Wow.
I can't imagine. And of course, what would happen to somebody that's accidentally cleaned that board off.
Erased it. I know. I had such a hard time keeping everything organized with this one, but you know, especially through multiple books. And then I finally was gifted. My mother is wonderful and got me some writing software, and that has been wonderful. I wish I had got it with my first book because it's kept everything organized for me because it builds so much. And then just to have little bulleted points of things reminds my brain that I've done this and other aspects I could reuse. And I'm so grateful for that. But I was thinking, too, you know, talking about with the world building and multiple, trying to work on multiple projects at once. I can't even read multiple books at once. So I don't think there's any way I could ever write. Oh.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good way to do it, you know. You practice by reading a couple of different books at the same time. And if you can hold those.
Hold those together. I can't. And I know a lot of people that read, you know, 3 and 4 books at a time. I've never done that. I'm kind of obsessive with one thing at a time.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone has their thing. You know, I remember when I wrote my first 4 books together, and I said, okay, the 5th book, everyone said, oh, well, you can't do it that way. You can't just sit down and write it linear. Well, I already did it. But you can't do that. You write them as scenes, you know, and then put them together. And I said, oh, am I doing it wrong? So I wrote the 5th book like that, where I wrote scenes, and it's still not done. Because it's a mess. Okay. It's like, just leave me alone. I can do it.
Yes.
You know? I write you in the air. Let me do it that way.
Yeah. Everybody has their own system. And it's hard, especially, too, because when you hear what works for other people, and then you think, well, maybe I should do that or try that.
Yeah.
And you do, and then you get stuck. And
I know.
You have to do it your way, the way that your brain works.
Exactly. So, you know, so I don't listen to them anymore.
I know. You try initially, and
try
after you go through it, and
I try
to done.
What a mess it is, you know?
Yeah, well, and I outline a lot before I write because I'm just that kind of a person anyway, and I tried to write by the seat of my pants, and it didn't for about 3 chapters, and then I had to go back to outlining because I just kind of got really nervous.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going to happen.
Again, it depends on what you can do.
Yes. And that's
More of a by the seat of your pants kind of person.
My critique partners are.
You write a synopsis. I have to have a synopsis because I got one for all 14 books. Okay.
Oh,
so
goodness.
I know how
it
all everyone ends. So that, you know, it's like you write a synopsis for them and then you just go.
Yeah. See, I wish I could do that because it's really rewarding to discover along with the story that way. And
yeah, that's
nice,
but there's a lot of cleanup, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I should say, though, I mean, even though I outline, my stories never end up with my outline. So I do treat it very fluidly, but I get too scared to keep going if I don't know where I'm headed instead of just being patient and discovering because the moment, there's been a few chapters here and there where I've been able to I left it open on my outline and I just kind of discovered it. And I loved those moments because I didn't know what was going to happen.
It's like opening up a book, you know, like opening up a book and reading it and you're thinking, okay, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yes. I wish that would happen to me more, and I could calm down and know that it would get done. Yes, and those first drafts are messy. I would not read them to our dogs, but that's okay. That's why we edit. There's a delete key.
Yeah, definitely. Edit, you know.
Edit is a nice word for rewrite, but, you know.
Well, you know, whatever it takes. Yes, you can't be scared to do that.
No.
You know. That's what I tell people. It says, you know, I had to take an entire section when I found out, you know, 3/4 of the way through that was the beginning of my book.
You know, that's really hard to realize that.
Yeah. And that was actually the whole reason for the whole series, So she picked it up, put it in the beginning, and rewrote the whole thing. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. You got to do that, you know. So
yes.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yes, it does. Beginning.
Some people don't like to go through that. You know, some people don't want to go through the process.
No. And it's hard. That's the only part I say where sometimes I think for me in the way that I work with writing, my background through labs really helped me see things to fruition because a lot of times I just want to throw my laptop out the door. Say, done with it. I don't care. Kill yourselves off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I understand. I hear you. Do you work with a writing group?
I have a handful of critique partners that I work with.
Okay.
So, yes. And I've met all of them. I've met one of them in person. I've met two of them through Skype. So it's amazing this day and age. And I talk to all of them often. I know I just think they're all scattered around the U.S., which is pretty amazing. So
probably one of them sitting here listening.
I don't know.
I can see you guys.
That's helped more than anything, just having that.
Yeah.
And, it's hard taking criticism, and it's also hard giving it. And but it's helped me so. I can't even, I'm sure it's the same for you. It's helped me more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're too close to what you're working on, and you can't see things, and they catch everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better for them to catch
it
than a reader. Because
Oh, my goodness, readers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had readers say, I like your book, but, you didn't quite get the helicopter right.
No.
Hey,
and they could all still like it, and readers don't, and that's...
I know. I said, hey, I would love you to tell me what I had wrong because, I love helicopters and I was trying to get it right.
Yeah. Yes. I've learned something about horses recently, too. So there are those people out there that are calling you out on all these things. I'm like, thank you.
Sure,
I did
not
know that.
You're like, wow, Oh, good. Finally somebody tells me,
Yes.
I've only been at this for 5 years,
Precisely. And you just wonder how many people thought this and never said anything.
I know. I'm like, come on, people. You're supposed to tell me when something's wrong. But, he used to fly them, so, of course he would know.
yes. That's it. This horse person apparently likes horses.
Right.
Deals with horses daily, and otherwise I wouldn't have even known to have looked it up. So
right, and well, you looked it up, but the thing is that sometimes we all do some research, So here's a question: how much research were you able to do or needed to do for your series?
I know with fantasy, it's kind of interesting because so much of it's made up. There are some aspects though that I've looked up, like making explosives, and sometimes I wonder if the NSA is going to come to my front door sometimes. But I, we look at the
all your research material online, right?
This girl seems like a threat. Actually, there is, so mostly my research has been minimal. I've looked up things like the weight of metals with swords and that sort of thing. I've looked up some of the horse riding, and I've asked my husband some things because he grew up with horses, and I try to find if there's anything specific when it relates to the body and physical ailments and healing and that kind of thing. It doesn't really matter fantasy or fact other than magic healing you. I just want to make sure that I get the pathways correct. There
exactly.
is a section in book 4 that's more that actually they come back to Earth for a little bit. Both my worlds are connected, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but they are. And so then I've had to revamp my researching again. So in some ways, it's kind of fun because the lay of the land's out there for you. And in other ways, it's very limiting. And it writes the plot for you, though, which is nice. But
so
I've had to do more research as of late.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's, again... I have a lot of people, especially readers and other people out there who are not really readers, say, well, fiction writer. I mean, you guys just make it all up.
No.
No.
Even in fiction, even in fantasy, People still walk on 2 feet. Armor still weighs the same. Not that all fantasy, they have to be in armor. But, you know, people have
still
the same bodily function.
Exactly. It still takes, you know, X number of horses to pull a cannon. So, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Look at that
medieval stuff a lot of times. So you just thanking, and you can magic can cover a multitude of sins, I suppose.
Oh sure, I love gadgets by the way. So
see,
well, I gotta move these people in one place to another really fast. So you know what? I gotta create a gadget.
See,
right,
perfect. But, you know, magic is so close to technology anyway. It's everybody has to do research. I know. Somebody told me that once, too. We just make up everything. Well, we do make up a lot, but there are some truths to carry.
But I write time travel, so I got to follow certain rules, too. So
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
What kind of time travel?
Well, there's multiple ways. I mean, you know, you got multiple possibilities. You've got your black hole, you've got your gadgets, you've got your, you know, mind control, and so I got a little bit of different things. So
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Time travel is a big thing of mine. And anybody who knows me is like, oh yeah, I've got to time travel. And you know, I can sit there trying to travel for hours. But
wow. I'm going to have to look at that because I haven't read a lot of time travel recently, and the only thing I have read was another young adult author that did, I don't know if it was Ruby Red and Sapphire Blue, and hers are kind of time travel loosely. And I loved it, and I forgot how much I like seeing time travel, you know, other than Back to the Future. But there's not a lot of it, and so I'm going to have to look at
I would disagree with you. There's quite a bit of it right now.
Oh, has that happened? Maybe this is how much I've been in fantasy. I'm sorry.
But you can put time travel in fantasy, too. So there you go. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun, dude. So when you were growing up, who were your writers that you really got into reading?
Are there writers? What do you mean?
Like books.
Oh, books. I didn't hear the second part of that question. So I said, other writers I wasn't. No, I don't. I really always loved fantasy, pretty much. So J.R.R. Tolkien and that.
So that's how you got you got your love for fantasy books.
Yes, and I also really love Jane Austen, so that would be the romance side of things. I love a lot of the classics, those classics anyway. I love Jane Eyre and Pride and Prejudice. Those are probably two of my favorite. And then, of course, Lord of the Rings is another one. So a little bit different from one another.
Yeah.
But that is probably why I stick most. Not that I never venture from that, in especially reading, but that's probably why I stay there, because those have always been my favorites. Even like little, I always love Nancy Drew, which is more mystery, but I've never been much of a contemporary fiction person. Not that I don't like it when I do read it. I just tend to gravitate more towards adventure and fantasy.
Well, I would think that you probably read Terry Brooks then.
Yes. I started, but I didn't care for it as much.
Mm.
And so I didn't get very far into it.
Well,
you
have to read his older stuff.
Okay.
You have to read it, you know, older stuff. I got him down. Obviously, the very first beginning of a series, I would think that's probably the best way to start. I mean, it's a pretty big book, but the Cher books are just awesome.
The last ones,
I don't know. But, you know, you start at the beginning of the series, and I think that you'll see that, you know, he's if you like Lord of the Rings, then you may not like Terry Brooks as much.
It was a sort of Shannarok, right?
Yes, yeah.
The first one. And that's what I had read about half of it, and I put it down because it was so much like Lord of the Rings, the first book, Fellowship of the Ring, and it, but it wasn't that book, and so I just didn't bother reading the rest of them.
Ah.
And those, I know yeah. a lot of people love that series. I just, at that particular, I think I was in college, actually, when I was reading it. At that particular time, I just wasn't into reading it, finishing it, so I didn't. Because it was so similar.
Oh, well, it's not that it was similar to me. Either people really loved Lord of the Rings or they loved Terry Brooks. It's not usually both. I don't know why.
Interesting.
But
okay.
I did, you know, I was okay with Lord of the Rings, but it wasn't my favorite book. And I know I should probably be shot for that. People probably walk out stoning.
I know a lot of people that don't like this.
I love the movies, but, you know, the books, to me, they dragged.
Okay.
So,
that's interesting. But you still love the movies, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, sure. The characters came out, and they were really good.
Yes.
And they were done extremely well.
Weren't they, though? Oh, I love them.
I know.
I love both. But, yeah, so that actually makes... That's interesting for me to hear because I have not heard that before, and maybe if I'd gone to more fantasy and science fiction conferences, I would know that. There was either the Tolkien fans or the Brooks fans.
Yeah, seems to be. And of course, I picked up my friend handed me, Terry Brooks' book, and I said, well, it's kind of big.
Yeah.
I was in college at the time, so I was like, well, this is kind of a little big.
For
you
too. Funny.
Yeah. And I said, well, I'll try it, you know. It did take me a little bit. As soon as I got into it, though, that was it. I was hooked. I was done for. Yeah. There's certain series
really
in which,
funny.
Once I read one, man, I just have to, I'm voracious. I have to have everything of theirs, you know.
Yes. No, I understand. The last fantasy series that I read that I really loved was by Jim Butcher, actually, that Codex Solaris series. I really like his writing a lot. He's funny and he's...
Yes, he's funny. Yeah.
Witty. I love that series. Anyway,
met him in person. I met him in person.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. A few years ago down in Tucson. And
jealous.
He's just as witty. He's actually even better in person.
Gosh.
But,
when you read books and you just know what kind of, you get a feel for that author. And he's somebody just reading his books. I just think, I would love to meet him. So I'm very jealous.
And there's sometimes when I, I didn't know their books before, but I liked them. I met them in a convention, and I said, you know what? I really like that person. I think I'll try their book, you know, because I like the person.
Was the reverse true?
Yeah, usually. And then there's times when there's only been once where I said, you know what? I really can't stand that person. And I refuse to read their books, but then, and I think, you know what? I went ahead and read one of them, and I loved their. I just knew I was going to like their writing, and I didn't want to.
Oh, that's funny, actually. Shoot,
but,
I'm not supposed to like you.
I know, I'm not supposed to like it. You know.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Like
oh well.
That's funny.
Okay, became a reluctant fan. See, so.
that's interesting way to identify yourself, actually. I'm a reluctant fan, but a fan, no less.
I know it. He says, you got me hooked. I just had to take that. You know?
Yes. Yes.
I love meeting the author, so, you know, meeting them in person. Just makes a whole new dimension to the writing.
So I could absolutely see that because I haven't met very many, and that's my own fault because, again, I don't get out very much.
Well, we'll have to change that.
I know.
Meet some authors.
It's interesting. It's like I write so I can hide behind my computer.
Oh no.
You know.
But I know. But you seem so outgoing.
Isn't it weird? I am.
Isn't that weird?
I'm talkative. It is strange. I know it seems a bit of a contradiction, but I don't like being in front of crowds of people, and I don't like being, like, for instance, I played the piano since I was a little girl, and I hated every single recital. I hated them worse the older that I got. I hate performing. So it's hard for me to put myself out there, even though I know I need to and I want to share things. It's something I'm trying to learn how to be better at.
Yeah.
I can talk when forced to.
Mm-hmm. Well, see now, you know, my listeners are going to say, okay, we've got to do something about this.
Sorry.
You've got to get you to a couple of conventions so that way you can learn to open up with some people, because once you find out they love your stuff, they love your work, it's going to be well worth it for you.
I think you're right. I hope you're right.
It's
scary
for
me.
Scary at first. Barbara, everything's scary at first. You know?
Yes. Well, even the first two books, I don't think I've really tried pushing any of this until this third book. And again, I don't know if I've had more content, and it's more of a thing that I felt like I needed to prove to myself that I could do it before I really, put myself out there. So this is kind of the first time I've tried. I've been so hesitant with the other two, and it's just frightened me to paralysis almost, other than just sitting behind my laptop by myself. But I'm making baby steps.
we'll just have to keep in touch, because I would love to have you come to Leprechaun.
I would love to come, definitely.
And even if you don't want to talk, don't want to be a participant, we'll definitely. Seriously, I have a table there. We'll put your books out, okay? And you'll have some time to meet and greet, okay?
I do that as long as you're there and I'm not by myself.
No. I mean, you know, I'll have another option with you. Okay. So. Sure, that way, you know, you feel comfortable, because, again, it is more fun sitting with another author. So,
yes.
You know, I usually do put two people at a time. So, you know.
I could do that.
I know a couple of ladies who would definitely take you under their wing.
That's good to hear. I don't feel so completely near the headlights.
Right. Yeah, and you'll I'm sure you'll fit in.
Well, now, thank you. I would love to do that. So definitely communicate with me about that.
When are you due? July?
June 11th.
June?
It's going by so fast.
Okay, because you'll be in your last month during this, because the convention's May 8th through 11th.
Okay.
So you've got some time to work up to it.
Okay. I could do that. I'll be nice and egg-shaped, but I could do that.
Okay. And, you know, again, baby steps. Let's get you to a con first. And
yes.
You know, and get you, you know, talking to some people, and then, you know, next year we'll have you be one of the participants. Okay?
That would be great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's okay.
I would
love
that.
I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm in the know. I actually date the chair, so there you go.
I do
the publicity for the con, so of course I'm going to get people on. That's just going to be interesting, okay?
That's really funny. No, but I really do appreciate it, because, like I said, this is the first time that I've tried to push everything, and so I'm still fairly new at it, and again, a little frightened by it. So I absolutely appreciate any advice and encouragement in that regard.
That's okay. That's what I do. No problem.
Well, thank you for doing it.
You hear from the other ones that say the same thing. So it's just great to see you guys. And like I said, your book covers intrigued me. And, you know, again, BK and her virtual book tours definitely got us together. See how that works?
Well, yes, and I'm really great.
It's a destiny thing.
This is the first time I've done a book tour.
Yeah, it's a destiny thing. Yeah, you were meant to
talk
to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
And you live here? It's just, it's too perfect.
I know. It's just so weird.
I know. It's great. I'm really glad for it, so thanks. My dog is going crazy in the background.
Get off
I hope
the phone
you can't hear him.
No, your husband's probably going to – is he saying something in the background?
No, my I have a little dog, and he hears anything. Yes, and he starts barking.
I'm fine.
Which
so,
was
so you have to, when you get off, you have to tell your husband, hey, you know, we've got a book signing. There they go.
Yes. Hey. I'll bring in the head. Aw.
So see, you start with an interview, and now you got a book signing. So that's how it
works.
Gosh.
Hey, I like that. I'm happy for it. Oh, gosh, there's a part of me cringing inside, but that's okay. Hopefully that part will die.
Yeah, it just takes time. It just takes time. Seriously, it does take time.
Time and exposure.
Yeah, because, you know,
hopefully,
right after I get off the phone with you, I got an interview of my own. So.
Oh, are you get nervous?
No, not anymore. Well, you know, when I talk on the radio, I talk like I do right now. I get to know you. Sometimes people forget they're even on the radio. It's just actually being taped, so the prosperity.
That's scary.
Forever.
I won't listen to it. I'm telling you that. So, I can't stand to hear myself.
Me neither. But, you know,
hear your own voice.
I have a bad voice and all this, but, you know, the thing is that it doesn't matter because, you know, people want to talk. And I have a way of being able to, you know, bring them out. And so that's, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm perfect at it. Yeah.
No, I think you're wonderful, so thank you. I feel
completely
fine talking to you, so good job.
Okay, and here you were an introvert.
Yes.
Yeah.
People that I know will I wouldn't say I am introverted with, but see, I know them, it's different. That's why I'm weird.
Right, and I understand, and you know, it's okay. It just takes time to be able to feel comfortable around people, you know, who are stranger than you are.
Although we're the ones with voices in our heads, I'm sure that's relatable.
I know. Yeah. And you know, those fiction authors who I often say, well, you know, what about the voice in your head with your characters? And some of them say, what? I look at them and said, you know what? I don't think I want to read your book. You know?
Yeah, I know. If they're not really, well, yeah. They'll never understand when you wake up at 2 a.m. and all of a sudden you've sorted out this dialogue line and you go right back to sleep. It's just your mind works on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a real weird one this morning, so. So.
Good job. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. So it's like tonight we're doing a writing group. We get got a couple authors who actually writers and author get together in Scottsdale and we write into the wee hours of the morning. So that's tonight as well. Yeah, keeps us going. You know, push those words out. You know, eat some ice cream, flirt with some boys. You know. It's all good.
Force yourself there. Just get it out. Not too late.
I call that, you know, getting experience, you know. Research.
Of course. I research bombs, ice cream, what's the difference?
Dealing with people brand new is research. You know, that's everything is research.
Isn't that the truth of it, though? And basically anything anybody ever says to you is fodder for your next story. So they should know if they don't want it published, they need a disclaimer.
Yeah, I have a writer friend who's working on, is actually a fiction story based on all her exploits with the opposite sex right now. She's had
opposite sex, I'd be scared.
She's been married like 6 times, okay? she's got a new boyfriend all the time. So the weirdest stories. It's coming, and I'm going like, oh God, you know, you got to actually pull all these together and make it in a book because it's just hilarious. And
she would have them. That's funny.
But I told her that after the last one, who said, "Don't put me in your book." I said, you know what? You better not. You better stop telling them about the book.
Well, it's like the Taylor Swift of writing now.
They're going to take it personally, and they're gonna, one of these days, they're gonna, one of them's going to come after you. So don't tell them about the book.
Don't tell them your secret.
No.
No, you can't.
And then when you write it.
I love it when. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was funny. Everything is you know, we get people who we meet in the middle, you know, who have beautiful eyes, you know.
Yes.
And
I'm gonna use
you know,
your eyes.
I know.
Well, you have to. Well, and because you have to take things from things around you. I mean, I don't know. Okay. That's when people ask, you know, your characters, like people you know. It's like, well, there's semblances of somebody I know in all of these characters. Of course, it's your own special blend, but I got to get the idea somewhere. And it might just be you, but I'm not going to tell you.
Right. Or interesting name, you know.
Yes.
I used to write down names of people I met and when I was working at the print shop. And then, you know, this guy came in with most beautiful eyes. And I had to ask him. I said, where are you from? Because he had, like, an accent, too. And he said, I'm Egyptian. Oh,
ooh,
man.
Oh.
You know, he had rings around his iris, you know, in different colors.
Yeah.
Is that just cool?
That is really exotic.
Absolutely. So I said, oh, yeah, you're just totally reach an all-time interesting level here.
I'm proud of you for forming a coherent sentence. Just be scared.
Yeah.
Hi.
So it's
probably
think
I was creepy. Wow.
So yeah, we got to get together, and I'm gonna give you my email. I know here I am on the air. I'm gonna give you my email anyway because you know, obviously everybody has it anyway. For the newspaper, and that way I can get you to you know, hooked up and get some books from you to get you over there at different conventions and get you in the loop, okay?
That would be wonderful. I'm trying to find a pen that works.
Grab a pen.
Yes.
And everybody else is grabbing a pen, too.
I know.
Oh, she's giving her email.
I know. Don't rush. You know,
so
you think out of about 50
people,
pens.
I'm getting a pen out right now.
So we have so many pens.
I got your phone number, I swear, because some of you are just weird out there, but, you know.
I found a pen. I have a pen that actually works.
Okay.
That's the key.
Okay, it's pretty simple. It's editor.
Okay, editor.
At.
The
WOD. That's
T-H-E.
T-H-E-W-O-D
.net. Oh, that is very simple. So I have editor at thewad.net.
So email
okay.
me so that we have your email, and then again, we'll connect, and I'll get you, again, hooked up with some a book signing at least, and then you'll see how comfortable we can all be.
I absolutely will, and I absolutely appreciate it.
That's okay,
Barbara.
I'm excited to
throw myself out there.
Yeah.
So thank
only
you.
Somebody's got to push you out the door. Yeah.
Just you can shove and kick. That's fine. I'll heal.
Yeah. You know, baby birds jump out of nests that are trees. Have you ever seen that? It's the weirdest thing.
Yes. Actually, we see the cats prowling around.
I know. It's like wow. They fell three stories. Goodness sakes, you know. And they
yes,
live.
In some ways, I'm the bird that never leaves the nest. So,
that's it. The one of the brothers or sisters usually pushes the other bird out.
Kicks.
So,
I'm okay. I'm not leaving each other. It's fine.
So I'm your brother or sister behind you, going, okay, time to go.
No,
yeah,
thank you. I need it. I know I've needed it. It's just, see, like you said, this is meant to be.
Yes, it is. it is.
Perfect. I will email you.
Good. Because if you don't, I'll
and
hunt
now
you down.
I can't hide. You know where I live.
I know where you live now. You're in Glendale.
Yes.
It's not that big of a town.
No. Although, again, we still haven't been very awful. Well, you've come to Glendale more than I've ever been to Mesa. And, again, I think you know my city better than I do.
Yeah, the thing is, Glendale, again, is like my second area. So
that's really funny.
I probably drove by your house and didn't even know it. See?
You probably did.
Stalking you, didn't even know it.
I know. I was probably behind my laptop screen, hiding.
Well, not yet. But, but yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun, and I'm excited for you because, again, I think your book covers are intriguing, and people are going to pick them up. And so got to get you out there so that way, you know, this is your target market, for goodness sake. You've got to get out there with them. So
yeah.
So
you're right. I know you're right. I've known you're right.
Yeah, I know. When I'm right, I'm right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I was just remembering a Downton Abbey. I don't know if you watched Downton Abbey. I also watched Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
You know, she's never wrong either, so.
No. She does everything right. Hasn't been in the wrong thing yet, so there. So I'm excited for you, and we'll definitely hook you up and have some fun. So, it's an event thing. You know, you have two babies now, you know, coming. So we've got to keep you, sane. Got to keep you sane. Yeah.
Yes. The writing has kept me sane, and I think it will be wonderful to get out there
It's kept me from killing certain people, so there you go.
Isn't that the truth? It's not murder if it's on paper.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I have entire sections, seriously. I had to go through a divorce, so believe me, I know about this. that was never meant to see the light of day, and it never will. It's just I had my character take care of certain people, and I feel much better now. Thank you. So,
that's one. I have those sections too on my laptop that aren't viewed by anyone.
It's you know, cheaper than therapy, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. I had a friend who was kind of leaning over and she was reading and she goes, well, wait a minute, your team is never going to do that. And I said, this is not meant for you to read. You know, not meant for you to read. Get it out of there. Because
this is my personal diary.
That's never going to see the light of day. That's just me taking care of certain things. You know. The laws of physics have to come to play here and it has to take care of things. So I feel much better.
I understand wholeheartedly.
Even fantasy.
It's so wonderful, isn't it? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you think, you kill them off.
It's more subtle with fantasy.
I know, because, you know.
You can get away with more.
Now, mystery.
Like, well, obviously, I'm not there with the dragon, so she can't be me.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you can get away with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Believe me, I've never apologized. It's too much fun.
Good.
Too much fun. So it's like, certain people, it's like, okay, you know, it says, you really mess with me and you're a goner in my book. But okay. So it won't hurt you.
I saw a coffee mug with
but it made me feel a whole
slogan
lot
about that. It's like, there was something circulating for a while about it's like, I'll kill you in my next novel or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm terribly paraphrasing it right now, but we should own that.
Yeah, T.M. Williams, actually, she did that recently. She said she had a contest, and somebody could create a character with a name that they could kill off, and it was gave the money to charity or something. And she wrote it into the book and killed off the character and torched to somebody they knew. Couldn't use their full name, their real name, of course. But, after all, there's legal things going on here. But, you know, they knew who it was.
I shall have my vengeance.
Yes, that's true. Especially when I'm fiction authors around.
Oh, it's power.
I know it. Power. But anyway, I got like a couple minutes before I get on to another show, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go. But
oh, no.
I tell you, it's been such a thrill talking to you, and you know, you're so easy to talk to.
I've had so much fun talking to you. Thanks for getting me out and doing this, because I normally would not. And I really do appreciate all the information and support, and I'm going to email you so that I can be in the network with you as well. And thanks again so much just for hosting me this evening.
No problem at all. Go tell your husband how excited you are.
Okay, I will. He's going to just look at me like, really?
Really? Is that what you were squealing about in there? Okay. Yeah. So have fun tonight.
Between me and the dog, I mean.
Yeah, you and the dog.
You have fun with your interview and your writing night that's going to be late and research filled.
Yes. Yes, well, yeah. Well, it's already in my head, so it's got to come out. So that'd be fun.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Have a good night.
I'm glad that we live so close.
I know. It's too weird.
Yes.
And with that, I'm going to say good night.
Absolutely. Good night to you. Thanks, Patty.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Barbara Kloss. And, of course, I mean, who would have known that we were like, you know, bosom buddies across the street, so to speak. So, it's crazy. You know, it's always a smaller world. You think that, you know, this is a huge world, but it really isn't. And so with that, it's real fast here before. And yes, I know you're thinking, does she really have another? Yes, I do. I'm being interviewed myself on Blog Goddess at 7 o'clock, which is less than 15 minutes. So I will be on live with Blog Goddess and be interviewed. We had gone over some other things a few weeks ago, and we hadn't even gotten into the conventions, and we were talking about that, I think, tonight, and about some other things going on in the publishing world after all these years of experience that I've had. And it'll be interesting. So, you know, if you're tuning into this one, just definitely tune over into, again, it's Blog Talk radio show as well. It's called Blog Goddess. And I'll be on there in about 10 minutes. So I'll see you guys out there. In the meantime, see you next Tuesday. I'll be talking to Dr. Weinstock, and he talks about health, and he's an ophthalmologist, talks about your health and how your eyes, definitely, with all these issues with macular degeneration and things like that, as you get older, you need to take a look at your eyes and take care of them. So he'll be talking to us on next Tuesday, 5:30, same bat channel, same bat time, 5:30. And then next Thursday on the 6th, same time, 5:30, I'm talking to Alan Amis, and I sure hope I'm getting his name right, but he has a business here in Phoenix for prosthetics and for costuming. He's really digs into the cosplay, and so he's heavy into that. And so we'll be on live with him 5:30 on next Thursday. And then, of course, there'll be, like I said, I already told you about the steampunk show. You guys got to come on out. We'll be doing raffle drawings for games given to us and hosted and sponsored by Imperial Outposts. And, Barbara, that particular store is right in your backyard. Glendale. So there you go. One in five. Good friends of ours over there, Darren. And then the Wild West Steampunk Convention will be 7th, 8th, and 9th. And that's down in Tucson. That's old Tucson. It'll be a whole lot of fun going on there. I'll be there on the 8th, all day on Saturday, doing interviews with the guests and also the organizers of the convention. So, that boom, boom, boom thing after another. We got May 2nd, Friday, on the 14th. It'd be Leprechaun Night and Cosplay Night. So that'd be in Mesa. downtown Mesa. So definitely get out there and have some fun with us. We'll be doing drawings as well that night and giveaways. So, and we probably might have the trebuchet out for that one. We'll definitely have the trebuchet out tomorrow. And then Tucson Festival of Books, of course, always the biggest convention or biggest book festival in our beautiful state of Arizona. 15th and 16th, I'll be out there as well at the Brick Cave Media booth, toting my books, and I'll toting all these other people, wonderful authors, other fantasy authors, Sharon Skinner and Jen Zepp and all the other guys. don't ask me what all their names are right now, because I barely got started in knowing some of these people. So so nice to be part of a family. And so with that, I'm going to say goodnight, because I have like a few minutes before I go into the next one. And I want to get something to drink. So you guys have a great night, and, you know, just K-Rod Radio. And this is Patty Holstrand. So if you need to get a hold of me to do a show, let me know. I'm here.